Well, apparently for the nonce, that's the group of us, so we'll just start. And once again, good morning, and thanks for coming. Swami Vivekananda's birthday puja is next Sunday, the 27th. Shrine decoration begins at 10 a.m., followed by a short talk about Swamiji and worship at 11, then potluck prasad lunch at 12:30. As always, if you're bringing food, please have it here no later than 11 a.m. so that the people who are working in the kitchen can do what's necessary with it. As always, we need you to volunteer. You can help with puja preparations, helping me get the place ready for the puja, or you can serve in the kitchen, or some people are so kind as to do both. Puja assistants, please be here by 9:30. Kitchen people by 10:30. Next week we will celebrate the man whose words we will be celebrating today. February will be a month for the study of Bhakti Yoga. In that context, on Sunday, February 3rd, we'll discuss why astrophysicist John Dobson concluded that the mathematics of modern physics prove the illusory nature of our perceived reality. The mathematics of modern physics prove the illusory nature of our perceived reality. John Dobson, for those of you who don't know him, was born in China of missionary parents, went to the University of California at Berkeley, graduated with a degree in chemistry, became a monk, but because of his interest in astronomy and building telescopes, the Sacramento Monastery where he was staying said, well, we think you'd probably better pursue that rather than the life of monasticism. So he moved out of the monastery and started something called the Sidewalk Astronomers. Go online. If you don't know the Sidewalk Astronomers, go online and see the wonders that John Dobson and those who followed him and learned how to build homemade telescopes. They used primarily portholes. In the beginning, war surplus portholes from World War II. They were had for pennies and big cardboard tubes and made these wonderful telescopes and would just be on the sidewalk in San Francisco and elsewhere. Finally, they began to be adopted by the National Park Service and did astronomy demonstrations in the national parks all over the country. Well, John Dobson went on to become an astrophysicist and he wrote a number of books. The talk on February 3rd will be based on his book, The Equations of Maya. What a provocative title, huh? The Equations of Maya. Please note that Saturday, February 9th, is Save a Saturday for February. It's the second Saturday of the month, as always. Let's have a great turnout again, as we did for this month. So much needed work gets done when you show up. We need your commitment to our success. And this month there was a large group of people, I think a dozen at least. So a great deal got done, but there's always a great deal to do during the month. And of course on that 9th we'll be preparing puja for the next day, which I'm very happy to say will be the day when Swami Harinamanandaji is with us again. Sunday, February 10th, Swami Harinamanandaji will be with us. He's the resident minister in San Diego, California. His topic on that morning will be decoding the Chandi. And be prepared for the fact that the presentation itself is an hour and a half long. It's a PowerPoint presentation that explains in detail the four episodes of the Devi Mahatmyam. Please come for that and then stay for the reception and potluck lunch that will follow his talk. Because he's just going to be here for the one day, we're just going to have a lunch for him right after his talk. So, Lori, did I forget anything this time? I mentioned the puja prep and all that business. I think I got it all that this time. But if there's anything that I have forgotten, please remind me. Okay. Well, we'll start with our blessed opening chant, translated by Swami Yogeshananda. Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahano Vunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu, Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. May the Divine Being look over us lovingly as a mother and father. May the Divine Being support and nourish us as a mother and father. May we have the strength and skill to study together the art of spirituality. May no misunderstandings arise amongst us. Om Shanti, peace, peace, peace be unto us and to all beings everywhere. What a lovely prayer. Well, I'm not going to sing this for you this morning, but I am going to read you another interesting prayer. This is by John Lennon. The title is Imagine. And for those of you who know Swami Shantarupananda, Swami Shantarupanandaji was the resident minister, the head minister of the Portland, Oregon Center for some decades after Swami Aseshananda left the body. This was his favorite song in English, and he asked that it be sung at his, or played, actually played by, in the John Lennon version, a recording of it played at his memorial service. This is Imagine by John Lennon. Imagine this in the context of Jnana Yoga Advaita Vedanta. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Aha. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one. You know, John Lennon predicted his own assassination in the Ballad of Yoko Ono, addressing Christ. He said, Christ, you know, it ain't easy. It's as hard as can be. The way things are going, they're going to crucify me. And that's what happened. The topic today is Vivekananda's Jnana Yoga. Vivekananda's Jnana Yoga. January is a month for the study of Jnana Yoga, Advaita Vedanta. As a Jnana Yogi, you practice discrimination, reason, detachment, and satyagraha, insistence on truth. The goal is freedom from limitation, mukti. Our teachers say that all miseries in life are caused by seeing inaccurately. An earnest and persistent jnani may break through this misapprehension called maya and see only the divine presence everywhere and in everyone, in everything and in everyone. So when we learn to see accurately rather than inaccurately, what will we see? Swami Vivekananda said, "Come up, O lions, and shake off the delusion that you are sheep. You are souls immortal, spirits free, blessed and eternal. Ye are not matter, ye are not bodies. Matter is your servant, not you, the servant of matter. Each one of you is only a conduit for the infinite ocean of knowledge and power that lies behind mankind. This knowledge of the absolute depends on no book, upon nothing. It is absolute in itself. No amount of study will give us this knowledge. It is not theory. It is realization. Cleanse the dust from the mirror. Purify your own mind, and in a flash you will know you are Brahman. In one sense, Brahman is known to every human being. He knows I am, but man does not know himself as he is. We all know that we are, but not what we are. Our lower explanations are partial truths, but the essence of the Vedas is that the self is in each of us, is Brahman." These ideas were taken from various texts throughout the complete works. This morning we'll explore each of these statements in more detail. First, the idea of lions, not sheep. To give the quote again, "Come up, O lions, and shake off the delusion that you are sheep. You are souls immortal, spirits free, blessed and eternal. Ye are not matter, ye are not bodies. Matter is your servant, not you, the servant of matter." So what does he mean by lions? What does he mean? You know, there's a publication, Vedanta Keshari, The Lion of Vedanta. There's a story that Vivekananda told about a female lion who was pregnant, very pregnant, and chasing a herd of sheep to feed herself. But she started to give birth during this chase and laid down, and she died during her cub birth. Well, the sheep, being compassionate creatures, raised the baby lion as one of their own. And the baby lion thought that he was a sheep. He bleated like a sheep. He ate grass like a sheep. And was part of the flock of sheep. One day, a great lion, also hunting sheep, came upon this flock, and to his amazement, there was this young lion among the flock, bleating, eating grass, and he forgot all about feeding himself, and he ran to this baby lion, caught him, and said, "Wait a minute, what are you doing? You're not a sheep, you're a lion." "No, no, I'm a sheep." So he grabbed him by his mane and he dragged him to a nearby pond and he made him lean over and he said, "See this face? That's my face. See that face? That's your face. Don't they look alike?" The sheep was amazed. The lion sheep was amazed. And so he roared, "Rah!" The big male lion roared, and then the baby lion, "Rah!" Pretty soon he could roar too. Roar! That's us. We have been raised among sheep. Each of us sitting here is a lion. A lion. Not a sheep. But we've been raised among sheep. The sheep are not wrong. What they've taught us is not wrong. It's just a lower truth. They are compassionate. Our parents' friends, our teachers. They were all sweet. Not all of them, but by and large. They were sweet and compassionate and taught us what they knew about how to survive in this world. And so convinced us that we too were a sheep. We are not sheep. And as we'll explore with this looking in the pond is a metaphor for spiritual practice, seeing our face. What is matter? Swamiji said, matter is your servant, not you the servant of matter. What is matter? Matter is nothing but Brahman with name and form. We only know it as matter because we have a name for it. We have a form for it. This is a kind of table. This is a kind of microphone. This is a kind of chair. We know chair. We know table. We know microphone. Because of the vibrations in our mind that identify these things correctly. But a physicist will tell you this is 90%+ empty space. And the reason when I tap on it, it seems solid, is it's pushing back. John Dobson, I'll tell you more about John Dobson when we talk about the equations of Maya. He said, don't tell me insentient matter doesn't know anything. If I hold out this bundle of keys, he held out a bundle of keys, and I drop it, it knows where down is. No, it is, the fact is that because we are the divine presence, we are the lions of Vedanta. Saguna Brahman is our servant. It's explained in great detail. If you want to know the details of how to make it your servant in an active sort of way, just study Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. And he explains in great detail how to make matter your servant. And as we know, the great teachers of the world have all had the capacity to perform what we call miracles. To them, it's just incidental. They are the masters of Maya. They are the masters of the gunas. They are the masters of matter. So to say, Lazarus, rise up, is nothing to them. To make a blind man see, a lame man jump over the mountain, nothing to them. Because their attainments are far beyond mastery of matter. Those are just incidental things to them. So this knowledge, Swamiji says, you are a conduit. You are a conduit for the infinite knowledge and power that lies behind mankind. What does he mean? Well, imagine all of the power and knowledge that is being slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly through evolution being squeezed down to a tube, a small tube, a conduit. And out of that end of that conduit pokes you. Conduit, conduit, conduit pokes out you. You are the formulation of that infinite knowledge of power within the realm of Saguna Brahman, within the realm of Brahman with attributes. but we seem so small and limited in our powers. It's because we look only outward, outward, outward. We involve ourselves, we entangle ourselves with that which is seemingly outside us. So Swamiji says, each of you is only a conduit for the infinite ocean of knowledge and power that lies behind mankind. What is that power? This is from the Chandi, chapter 4. The devas, who are grateful for Mother's triumph over the asuras and the daityas, the devas are singing to the Mother of the Universe. You are the origin. Now, this is the definition of power. You are the origin of all the worlds. Though you are possessed of the three gunas, you are not known to have any of their attendant defects like passion. You are incomprehensible, even to Vishnu, Shiva, and others. You are the resort of all. This entire world is composed of an infinitesimal portion of yourself. You are verily the supreme primordial prakriti untransformed. The primordial prakriti is the essential element of Saguna Brahman, Brahman with attributes. You are verily the supreme primordial prakriti untransformed, though she seems transformed into all of this. But the Rishi said, no, tatvamasi, that thou art. You are the power that lies behind. Swami Prabhavananda, his first instruction for meditation. The chosen ideal is you yourself, no different. Learn to feel that living presence. Go on about how this transformation occurs, how we became entangled, and the way out. Sri Ramakrishna spoke about the infinite ocean of consciousness. By this he meant the absolute Nirguna Brahman, and he used the metaphor water of that infinite ocean in a state of stillness. Gestured to in the very beginning of Genesis. Silence across the face of the deep. Stillness. That's the absolute. The water, the ocean of infinite consciousness. So how do we get to the relative? The relative, Saguna Brahman, Brahman with attributes. The absolute is Nirguna Brahman, Brahman without attributes. The relative, Saguna Brahman, Brahman with attributes. We also call it Ishvara, Ishwari. The water of the infinite ocean in waves, stirred by the winds of the gunas. Swami Vivekananda said, in the time before manifestation, the gunas are in perfect equilibrium, no vibration whatsoever. The thought arises in the cosmic mind, I am one, I shall become many, Chandogya Upanishad, I am one, I shall become many. Suddenly, this takes the gunas, there is a vibration, and it takes the gunas out of equilibrium. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas begin this dance of vibration, more and more intense, more and more intense, more and more intense. And according to the formulation of Vedanta, this is all occurring within Hiranyagarbha, the cosmic egg. It's subtle, it's not manifest, and it becomes more and more intense. By more intense, what is higher and higher vibration is hotter and hotter, and finally Hiranyagarbha cannot contain it, and it bursts forth and becomes Jagat, becomes the universe. Now, the physicists have looked at this and said something seems to have happened some incalculable number of billion years ago, perhaps calculable if you can think in those terms, 14 billion years ago or so. And there was at first only plasma. Hot beyond our possible imagination, and not a thing, energy itself. Slowly and slowly it condensed into what we perceive through anti-entropy, more and more complexity, more and more specialization. Now we have what we are perceiving here this morning. This applies to us as well as to the divine beings that Sri Ramakrishna speaks of. Sri Ramakrishna says, the infinite ocean of consciousness condenses by the human power of devotion. The human power, to be fully human is to be fully divine, which means what? To become in consciousness and in awareness the Atman. By the human power of devotion, the infinite ocean condenses into the forms of the goddesses and gods, the form that attracts your heart, your chosen ideal. And what did Swami Prabhavananda say? The chosen ideal is you yourself, no different. Learn to feel that living presence. You condense this. You condense this. Sri Krishna says in the Gita, for your own purposes, Atman, 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 Atman. Atman is Saguna Brahman. It has purposes. It experiences. You did this, and you can undo it. The relative is Bhuma. The relative in all of its content and complexity is Bhuma. Big, infinite, God's universe. Alpa. Alpa is what is at the end of that conduit that pokes itself out as you have limited yourself, as you have condensed yourself. Alpa is small, limited, the world of your experience at the end of your conduit. All that an ordinary human being can endure or experience of the infinite ocean of consciousness and power that lies behind mankind. So how do we undo what we have done when the volition, mother's volition, it says in the Chandi, mother is volition. When the volition arises, enough. How do we undo this? Spiritual practice, turning inward, takes you back along that conduit. Your personal awareness of your infinite consciousness grows and grows as you move back along the conduit out of which you are condensed, until you finally experience God as your chosen ideal, as Saguna Brahman, remembering that as long as there is experience, there is duality. Experience, experienced, experiencer. Duality. This is not the final, but it's something to devoutly be wished. The Savikalpa Samadhi, the experience of the highest of duality, is devoutly to be wished. Then, going further back along the conduit, more and more expansive is your awareness as you become more and more aware of your infinite consciousness. Then slowly and slowly, as our dearly beloved Swami Sridharananda says, slowly and slowly, your meditation deepens until in a flash you realize yourself to be Brahman, the absolute Satchidananda. With the Rishi you exult, with the Rishi you exult, Aham Brahmasmi. Swami Vivekananda says this realization is within the grasp of everyone sitting in this room this morning. He says it's not theory, it's not intellect, it is realization. These are his words. Knowledge of the absolute depends upon no book, upon nothing. It is absolute in itself. No amount of study will give you this knowledge. It is not theory. It is realization. Cleanse the dust from the mirror. Purify your own mind. And in a flash, you will know you are Brahman. In one sense, Brahman is known to every human being. He knows I am. But man does not know himself as he is. We all know that we are, but not what we are. All lower explanations are partial truths. But the flower, the essence of the Vedas, is that the self in each of us is Brahman. Each soul is potentially divine. The goal is to manifest this divinity within you by controlling nature, external and internal. Do this either by work or worship, or psychic control, or philosophy, by one or more or all of these, and be free. This is the whole of religion. Doctrines or dogmas or rituals or books or temples or forms are but secondary details. Swami mentions work, worship, psychic control, philosophy. These are the names he's given to what he taught as the four yogas. So why do I bring these three other yogas into the discussion of jnana? Because, he says, by one or more or all of these. Work is karma yoga, the freeing of yourself from the selfish idea that I am doing and that what I am is mine and the results are mine. This traps you in action. Karma yoga is freeing yourself from that selfishness. Worship, bhakti. Bhakti is finding reverence, finding that to which you can offer that which you no longer see as yours. All of this work, all of this effort, all of this daily existence, in bhakti you offer that to the divine presence in self-surrender. Psychic control, raja. As Krishna says, without meditation, no progress. Sri Ramakrishna says the same thing. We must learn to control our mind, because as long as our mind is that drunken monkey stung by a scorpion, jumping around, we cannot focus, we cannot concentrate enough to realize what is within us. And then, of course, the philosophy, this is what gives us the idea of once we begin to move back down that conduit, up that conduit, into higher and higher forms of consciousness. We have to be able to discern what is higher form of consciousness, what is lower form of consciousness. We have to be able to discern, we have to be able to discriminate between what is good and what is merely pleasant. And then we have to be able to release that which is not good for us, that which is merely pleasant. These are the foundational ideas, as we talked about last week, of Adi Shankaracharya's, or was it a week before that? Vivekananda is telling us that for many aspirants, the spiritual practice which leads to realization may require integration of these four yogas. There are those minds that are powerful enough that when they encounter the truth, Ramana Maharshi is an excellent example. 16 years old, he encountered the truth. His life changed in that moment, in that instant. And he began to then do the practice of satyagraha, insistence on the truth, until he became this perfected being that we know as this master, as this Maharaj. Vivekananda, of course, also was such a mind. When they grasp the truth, they can actualize the truth. But for most of us, the process is a long and it's an adventure. It goes this way, it goes this way, it goes up, it goes down as we gain control of our minds. And this is why it may be practical for those of us who do practice and want to practice intensely and intentionally. It may be practical to have a guru, a spiritual teacher, to help you establish the best practice for your temperament and your bent of nature, as the Native Americans call it, the bent of your nature. Each one of us is a unique, unique facet of that Bhuma, of that infinite gem of consciousness and reality. So now we get to the part of this morning where whatever has been said, whatever has arisen in your mind, if it comes to you in the form of a question or a comment, please share it with the rest of us, because this is how we practice together the art of spirituality. We share with one another, and oftentimes someone will ask the question that you would want to ask, or they'll make the comment that crystallizes for you. Ah, yes, that's what's so. So this is the best part. Let's do this together. Comments, questions? Yes, Brad.
You said that it may be practical to have a guru, yet most of us, our guru is Yogeshananda, who is no longer available here. What are we supposed to do to find some other Swamis to talk to or use as our Upa gurus? Is that our strategy?
Well, first of all, Yogeshananda is still available. His mind is still sharp. His body is coming to pieces. And by his own admission, his body is just coming to pieces. But he is still available. You can go see him. Sanjeev Gupta is just going to see him next Tuesday. So he's available to you. It's difficult for him to talk on the phone. He will communicate with you by email if you send by an email. Someone reads it to him and then he dictates the response. So it's a little slower than you might want. But he's still available. But your question went to, what about the Upa Gurus? Yes, all of the great teachers of this lineage, and for that matter of other lineages, can share with us great wisdom. And because they have that penetrating insight, they detect your sincerity, and they detect your earnestness, and so are most willing to share with you what they have to offer. So that's a good question, yes. When your direct guru, the one who initiates you, is not immediately available to you, take advantage. Like when Swami Harinamananda comes February 10th, he'll have time to meet with you if you want to speak with him. He'll be happy to sit with you. And believe me, it's worth your while. He's only in his 40s in this lifetime. He has brought a great deal with him, and it is maturing at an amazing rate. So any of these great ones, any of these wonderful teachers are available to you. Thanks. Anything else?
I have a comment to make.
Please, dear.
I was reading Buddhism. I read quite a bit of Buddhism now.
Good.
And mm-hmm. I did follow some of the principles of Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
One of his noble truths he was writing, which is very true, he said, quarrels have created through identification with the view, I am right, and if I'm right, you're wrong. That is the type of view that creates lots of quarrels, which is very true.
Mm-hmm.
For more suffering in us.
Yes. Well, the foundational principle for Buddhism is that life is suffering.
Yes.
The second principle is there is a way out. Spiritual practice is the way out. He formulated spiritual practice according to principles that we identify very much as karma yoga from this lineage. Clearly, because of the number of saints that have been produced out of the Buddhist tradition, it is a great and noble spiritual tradition. And that's why the Buddha is there. Thank you. Anything else?
Slightly different type of question. In one of our prayers of Ramakrishna, we say that in you all the yogas are combined.
Yes, all yogas
all
meet.
All yogas meet in you.
Mm-hmm.
Could you comment on that? How?
Well, this is our evening hymn, Breaker of This World's Chain, which was written by Swami Vivekananda and embodies his view of Sri Ramakrishna. As he says toward the end of that, another of his prayers, Om Ring Ritam, Sri Ramakrishna is Varishtaya, the highest form of Ishvara. From that, and it's no longer gender identified, from that flows everything. And in everything is gathered when it is regathered. So Sri Ramakrishna is of the form of all gods and goddesses. This is what is also said. Now this does not mean the individual human being that we see pictured there. That picture is Sri Ramakrishna, no doubt, and is a living presence. But it's just a reminder of what's behind. If the infinite power of the universe is behind each one of us, how much more evident it is in one like Sri Ramakrishna. And so this is what is meant. Everything goes to that power. Everything emanates from that power. Everything directs itself toward that power, to it for its return. So that's an excellent question. Yes, dear.
It's the highest aspect.
Yes, but we will have to be aware of the word he.
Oh, yeah.
It transcends gender at that point. Saguna Brahman takes form that may have gender, but Saguna Brahman is genderless. The primordial prakriti untransformed. Transformation gives us gender. So, yes, dear.
We said that behind every person there is lot of the full consciousness. Every person is potentially divine, but each one of us go through sorrow. or pain, or sometimes not that peak level of activity. So if that much of energy is always behind, then why do these phases come then?
Because we're embodied. Because we have condensed ourselves into this relative universe where there is joy and there is suffering. As it's said in the Chandi, Mother gives us enjoyment and liberation. She also gives us suffering.
So experiencing all of them, like as I have five senses, if I experience all of them, and even then I practice, that's also a kind of life, not... Like in Hinduism, or sometimes I feel like it's like giving away most worldly things, or that's a way of life. Where sometimes I feel like after bhog comes tyag, means if I don't enjoy the senses, like I have born as a human being, means.
And you wanted to be born as a human being. This is one thing that we have to get straight right away. This is not something done to us. We do this. We are the unindicted co-conspirator here. We are the ones who brought this about. The truth of ourselves is the one that brought it about. The Atman. That little blue being the size of a thumb. So then, when we have our sufferings, this we say, oh, well, this is the result, the prarabdha karma, this is the result of these past lives that I had, that I created. And so, but it's something of the body-mind complex, the body and the subtle body. Our sufferings and our enjoyments are things of that. Not of the truth of your being. It simply experiences these things. That's why I characterized it as an adventure. If you see it properly, there are ups and downs, sideways and brambles and smooth road, all of this in our adventure. But it's an adventure. It is the adventure of the Atman embodied as a human being. When we're weary of it, we turn around and go back up the conduit as deliberately, as intentionally, as earnestly as we can, and we succeed in overcoming sorrow and joy. We succeed in overcoming the evil and the good, because they are our servants, not us, their servants. Does that answer it? Good. Good, yes. First over here, and then, yes, Paul, and then Bhagirath.
The particular form the conduit would express, I just look at that there was, 40,000 gunshot deaths in the United States in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And just...
How many did you say?
40,000, you said.
That can't be real.
Really? That's what the CDC...
I'm shocked.
That includes suicides as well as homicides.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes accidental gun death.
Mm.
But there's 49,000 gun deaths, according to the CDC, in 2018. And, that's just a tiny, tiny fraction of the suffering.
Yes.
And then... there's 2 million Americans in prison.
Yes.
American prisons. And mm-hmm. It just seems like the enormity of the depth of Maya and illusion and people that seem addicted to ignorance and greed and violence.
Mm-hmm.
And, I question, how can I possibly contribute to this enormous realm of suffering in a way that's meaningful? And then also, since I'm retired, I just kind of say, just forget it. I'm just going to sit on my front porch and watch the grass grow.
Well, Paul, all of those are perfectly decent approaches to this. But this question does haunt us. What can I do?
I mean, the four yogas, you mentioned the four practices.
Yes. The what happens, we're told, and certainly it is the experience of many I have known, is that when you do turn around and you do start back up that conduit and your awareness of infinite consciousness, your personal awareness of infinite consciousness expands, you become more aware of what you can do. Your discrimination, your intellectual ability to evaluate situations improves. And so you mentioned do something or sit on your porch and watch the grass grow. Both of these are perfectly valid responses. Pavhari Baba, a great saint known both to Vivekananda and Swami Prabhavananda, did not go out and try to revolutionize the world. He sat and radiated his benign presence into the world. And it said you could feel it from some distance away from his hut. You could literally feel it if you were spiritually sensitive. If you were sensitive, that sort of thing. So, the fact that the question troubles your heart is a very good sign for you. The fact that these things trouble your heart. The fact that you want them not to disturb your mind and interfere with the clarity of your vision is also a very good sign. We simply, as any individual, are not going to be able to overturn Maya in its greater manifestation. But we must remember this is Alpa. Though it seems big to us, it's not big. It's small. What is big is what is producing this, the infinite power and knowledge behind. So let us turn to that and see what resources are there for us. The more we do that, the more we find. This is the promise of every great teacher. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and all else shall be added unto you. Wisdom, power, effectiveness. Krishna characterizes it in the Gita as efficiency. You'll become more efficient. And we see it in the lives of such as Swami Harinamananda that's coming. I mean, this presentation that he'll give, I'll guarantee you, it'll put you on your heels. It's an hour and a half's worth of real stuff.
When is that? When and where is that coming?
February 10th, right here.
Thank you.
Anything else? Oh, Bhagirath, yes, I'm sorry. I spent so long with Paul, I'd forgotten.
You know, there is an eternal duel that I see here, dvandva. There's a fight.
Mm-hmm.
The world in which we have to live and the world in which we lack to live. And in a way, Jnana Yoga and some of our spiritual teachers, they create the door of opening between the two of them.
Yes.
That this world is not necessarily completely distinct from the other world, but you should be able to see the commonality and connect them by a point. To illustrate that, I'll give you one event which made me think, and this really happened, that during the time that the British troop, the military people, they were hunting, you know, in the deep forest of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, the chief medical officer, his name is McConnell or something like that. But anyway, he was attacked by a lion.
Mm.
And the lion started eating him.
Mm.
And at that point, the rest of the troop, they found out.
Were we talking about lions today?
Yeah, that's why I came to that one. But I'll connect the point. Then they killed the lion and saved him. At that point, a considerable part of his body was already eaten up.
My goodness.
He recovered completely. But then he said something which to me is very interesting. He said, when I saw the lion attacking me, I was so much afraid, scared, what will happen to me? But when he started eating me, then I realized, oh, I am the food of the lion. And all of a sudden he says, all my suffering of dying, being eaten, went away. Now, he might not be a Jnana Yogi, but in a way, he talks.
No, the truth of the extremity of the event simply caused the truth to manifest in him.
There you are. That's the point.
This has been the experience of many.
If we go from that standpoint, in your story of lion and the sheep, mm-hmm. when they were looking into the water, mm-hmm. if Ramakrishna was there, he says, I neither see lion nor sheep. I see two sheep, two lions, or nobody whatsoever. Because he was beyond that truth.
Yes.
So sheep is a part of lion too. Otherwise, lion cannot be lion. Mm-hmm. It's the important part of the lion's muscles, the sheep. And similarly, the lion has to be there in order to take care of the overgrowth of the sheep population. So everything is so balanced.
Yes.
In a very intricate, wise, and perceptive way, mm-hmm. that I think the guru, and that's where I thought of that too. You can name a guru, but this guru will tell you, this guru will help you, etc. But really speaking, guru is not a body. Mm. Guru is a spirit. So that there is no person who is a body, you can say, he is a guru. No, but there is a guru in him, mm-hmm. which you can excavate.
Which they will all tell you.
And that's the reason why I like Jnana Yoga in that way, that it gives you such a deeper understanding in width and depth that some of our illusions are automatically gone.
You know, you said one thing that I just want to take this tiny little exception to. We have to live in this world. No, we have invited ourselves into this sheepfold. We have invited ourselves. We knew that we were coming to the sheepfold. We, the lion, knew we were to be born as a sheep. And as Swami Sarvapriyananda has pointed out, we have to admit we do it because we like it. We like it. When we stop liking it, as Holy Mother said, the moment you stop liking it and you want nothing, it ends in that instant. In that instant, yes.
I just wanted to comment because today's talk, we started with the lion and sheep story.
Uh-huh.
And then some questions came up which are like dealing with current life, struggle in the life and everything. Mm-hmm. But the way I'm seeing with that story is that we are that lion cub which are being told that you are not. Mm-hmm. But we are still struggling. Am I? Should I believe him? Or this is where I'm growing up. This is what I am. Mm-hmm. We are not shown our image in the water yet. We haven't seen the image in the water yet. That's what we are in that stage still. So until we reach that stage, that's the only, like Cub found the answer at that time.
Precisely. Right. That's why it's always said, whatever is said from here, you do not have to believe it. It's not something that you're called on to believe. It is a proposition to be tested in your own experience. And we are both the lion and the cub. That's the thing. We will show ourselves our face in the water when we're ready. But it's good to know that that possibility is there and that we're not doomed to sheepness. We're not doomed to sheepness. We are doomed, as John Tagney says, we're doomed to illumination. That is our final destiny. Yes, please.
So, the question is like, it's just a thought. So, Guru Maharaj tells in many places that the aim of life is God realization. So that is why you are born here. So we take that as the final, like the aim. So if you take that, and then if you look into your present state, and then the situations around you, say like to attain God realization, that is not like it's going to be very simple. So it's like asking everyone, like you need to go and pass in a Harvard. So it's so far, and it's like it might be. I feel that not everyone can go and pass in Harvard. So even that might be simple, but not everyone will be able to go and attain God realization. So I compare it in that way. So, but if you still stay that, say that like that is the aim, like that is where you need to go, say like, and then there is Maya. So say like you want to try something and it goes wrong, and it will surely go wrong, that is Maya. So, and then you also have life, like where people need to work or earn or eat food. So, and there are some people, say like the monks, they take it as a full-time thing, like they don't want to engage in the world itself, like they want to dedicate fully. So even during that time, they tell that like, yes, they take up and they won't be able to, it's not like 100% guaranteed that they will make it. But it's going to be like at least they're going to put their full effort over there. But say like if we take a normal person's life, he won't be able to put full effort over there, and the way he needs to reach is very far, and there is a lot of difficulties. Like even if he tries, like your mind might try to pull it down, and external circumstances may try to pull it down. So if it is going to be easy, and if you know that the path is easy, and if you do this, you are going to reach it in this time, that's fine. But if you say like, again, if you say like, I have the rebirth. So if you say like, okay, don't keep trying hard, there is rebirth, you can try. So if you, then you can be very relaxed. Okay, the goal is very far, I'm not going to reach it. Either I can get like, say like an exam I go on, right? If I need to get some 80 mark as pass, so either I need to keep trying. I know that I won't be able to get that 80 mark, so why to try? I find it as thin itself. So,
the principles are simple. The truths are simple. The practice is difficult. The practice is difficult because we make it difficult for ourselves. As Swami Sarvapriyananda pointed out, the fact that we keep on doing what we're doing when we know what the results are, we have to admit it's because we like it. When we stop liking it enough, then we get the courage and the grit, as Sri Ramakrishna used to say, to start a program of spiritual practice and stick to it. He said, I have done the full 16 annas. I have done the full rupee. You must do only 1/16. You must do only one anna. Now, he didn't mean you must like. You're bad and wrong if you don't. But if you want to succeed, he says, this is my gift to you, my spiritual treasure, my great gift to you is that you must do only 1/16. Practice just a little. By what does he mean? What is 1/16 of a day? It is 1.5 hours. So if you translate his metaphor into what does it mean for me today? It means, you know, he practiced 24 hours in the day. No question. You read his life, you see. 24 hours a day. So he's saying practice 1/16. 1.5 hours. That means 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the noon, and 30 minutes in the evening, or 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes in the evening, or 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the evening, and 30 minutes at midnight, or 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Parse it up as you will. It's not a terrible much that is asked of us. But we must be intentional and we must be regular. And then you will overcome, and Sri Ramakrishna's promise is he will be there. I am the refuge. My treasure is yours for the taking. Just like the father's patrimony is there for the son to take or the daughter to take, his treasure is there for us to take. This is his promise. So if we are earnest, regular, intentional, the promise is there that we will succeed, and not after lifetimes. This lifetime, or sometimes mother would say, well, maybe one more lifetime. Did you have something? Yes.
I was going to say that somewhere in the gospel, and next time I'll try to figure out the page and actually use the terms that Krishna used. I think between maybe pages 300 to 500, somewhere in there, where he describes four types of realization or realized souls. Some mm-hmm. who are born that way, mm-hmm. some who get it through spiritual practice, mm-hmm. and then some it can actually happen in the dream, and for some mm-hmm. it can happen spontaneously. Mm-hmm. So if we keep doing the practice, we never know where we fall. We may be one of those that can get that spontaneous.
Precisely.
Because of previous.
Yes. So, you know, those of you who know the story of Scrooge, the Charles Dickens story of Scrooge, he's transformed overnight. Swami Prabhavananda was asked, is this possible? He said, yes, it's rare, but it's possible. And he said, those of you who come here and stick on, by stick on he meant 2 years, those of you who come here and stick on are but a hair's breadth away, and that's the gesture he would make. But a hair's breadth away. As you said, Swayam, we don't know where we are. We don't know how thin or how thick the layer of ignorance is still for us. We know it is ignorance. That's one of the things that characterizes this path. We have understood that it is not that we're bad and wrong people. We're not sinners. We're not wallowing in guilt and sin. No, we're just ignorant. Our ignorance is piled on like rocks over an artesian spring, as Sri Ramakrishna said. Out of the spring, out of this artesian spring comes this trickle. And so the gardener says, what's that? Gardener, us, what's that? And so you take this rock off and that rock off and this rock that's piled on top of it. And so the trickle increases. And finally you take that, some of the last rocks off, and the pressure is so great, in a flash, poof, it bursts forth. How many rocks have already been taken off? How many rocks are yet to be taken off? We don't know. We just do our practice earnestly, intentionally, regularly. And all of the teachers, without exception, say something truly wonderful and amazing will happen. You will become a saint. And if you want to read about this, just read Christ the Messenger, Swami Vivekananda's talk given in January of 1900 in Pasadena. Read that, and he says, this is your destiny. You are just somewhere along that evolutionary path. And Swami Prabhavananda and Sri Ramakrishna were very kind in giving us some indications. You know, you're not going to achieve it in 2 weeks, probably. He said, those of you who come here and stick on 2 years, in other words, you've been here long enough to absorb enough to have the beginnings of your own mind becoming your guru. No, Sundar, it's not easy. But we have to remember that it is ourselves who are making it difficult. The difficulty is not imposed on us. We are in this game because we want to be. We invited ourselves. And there isn't any other, there is no way out of it. Therefore, as Swami Vivekananda said, actions produced the result that you are today. This is who you are. This is your character today. Your actions now will determine what you become. Change the action, you change the result. It's just as inevitable as chemistry. You know, I don't know if any of you, well, probably most of you, have been in a chemistry lab and when you were students. One of the things that just amazed me was we were told, this was actually a biology class, not a chemistry class, but we were talking about catalysts and reagents. And so there was these two solutions poured together in a beaker. The beaker was heated, and then another solution was poured in, just a very small amount. And suddenly, everything in the beaker turned to crystals. Boom! Just like that. Boom! It was all crystals. Probably you've all seen this experiment one way or another. In an instant, this liquid turned to nothing, but there was no liquid left. It all turned to crystals. This was the demonstration of catalyst. Within us, the catalyst can be the mantra. It's a slow catalyzation. It doesn't turn the beaker, for most of us, it doesn't turn the beaker into crystals instantly. But you can feel it happening as you practice.
Sadhguru, what you say, boom, does not happen without preliminary practice and continuous.
No.
Spiritual discipline.
No, all of that that happened. What you know, if we just practice a little mindfulness about it, what happened? Well, first there had to be a beaker. And there had to be some gas coming to the Bunsen burner. And there had to be a match to light the Bunsen burner. And there had to be this liquid and this liquid to pour in the and then it had to be heated to a certain temperature. Not just any temperature, a certain temperature. And then this other had to be poured in. Things had to happen. We and our lives are that happening. And we can let it go on carelessly. Most of the world lead lives of quiet desperation, as pointed out by Thoreau. The mass of people lead lives of quiet desperation. Why? Because they don't know enough yet. They are still so ignorant that they are leading their lives more or less carelessly. What is this a cause for? Is this a cause for us to dismiss them? No. It is a cause for us to worship the divine within them and say, what can be done to ease their suffering? What can be done to remove their ignorance? And most of them are not going to pay any attention, but there will be that one and that other. Oh, speaking of which, there was an announcement as we know, the government shutdown continues. A lot of government workers here in Atlanta are suffering. So for the next week, we're gathering food. And so if you come between now and next week, just bring a little something. And it doesn't have to accord with what the rules were for the Atlanta Community Food Bank. Just bring whatever you like. And we'll get it to the people who will be able to distribute it to. Hmm? No, no, not cooked food. Not cooked food. Yes, Lori.
The food bank is very involved with helping some of these federal employees. And actually just donating to the food bank in your market. But I think they get like 4 meals out of a dollar.
Yeah, you can donate money to the food bank. The food bank does not itself give food to the poor or to the needy. The food bank gives it to distribution agencies.
Over 600 organizations.
They apply to the food bank for this. But if you want to donate to the food bank, wonderful, please do. If you just want to bring some food here because that will make you feel better, that you're offering it to Holy Mother and to Sri Ramakrishna to give, that you can do that. Whatever. In any event, over the next week, we are collecting food. We're hoping that by the end of the week, the shutdown will be over. But that doesn't mean the neediness will be over, because those people won't receive a paycheck yet for a while. First, the Congress has to decide, you know, how to cover their back pay and all the mishigas that's going to go on. But we can do whatever we can do, a little bit, gather it, and we'll make sure it gets either to the food bank or to some other organization that is being useful. we'll have one of those boxes out here for it. Yes.
I have a small announcement, if you don't mind.
Please.
Today is full moon day,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also for some parts of India, the ladies celebrate Sankranti, which is an exchange of friendship between women.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping to provide all the ladies here, they can stay behind, and not meaning to exclude our brothers.
We know there's Sadie Hawkins Day. It's okay.
I thought we had one.
The brothers can sit and participate if they wish. But if they can stay behind, I would really appreciate it.
Ladies, did you hear?
Yes.
There's something. What is the name of it again?
Sankranti.
And what does this translate to mean? Say it again, please.
So it's the movement of sun in these different constellations, and so it's an auspicious conjunction of sun and these different constellation of stars.
So it doesn't have a meaning that we can understand as just in English. Okay, that's fine.
Last week,
but it's a period of time.
Okay, well. Thank you for that, and those ladies who wish to stay behind, please do, so that Rita can tell you something, or do something, whatever it is. Is there anything else before we go into the... Yes, in the back, and then Bhagavat.
Full total lunar eclipse tonight.
Yeah, it won't be visible from here, I don't think. The total eclipse won't be visible from here, or will it?
No, it will be full visible. North America. But if it is clear, it says it's windy.
Margaret?
To return to our original topic, you know, and sticking to the story of lion.
Yes.
Because Sanskrit in its Panchatantra, in a very simple animal stories, it gives us the lessons of life.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about the lion which came to my mind, that this lion was one by one killing all the animals. And they say, this way we will not last. So they appointed the fox, I'm making it very short, to take care of the lion. So the fox says, I will. So he took the lion and says, if you want to eat me, fine. But there is a lion who is stronger than you. And he says, that cannot happen. He says, I'll show you. So he took the lion to a well. Like what you said in the
mm-hmm.
story.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, see, there is lion. That lion is much stronger than you. So this lion roared, and that lion roared back. He says, I cannot tolerate that, and therefore he jumped into the well and taken care of. My point is that it's not enough that we are not sheep. It's not enough that we know that we are lion. We have to be disillusioned lion. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we will go through the same thing which a lion goes through.
Ah, very good, very
that
good.
That ego will kill us.
Uh-huh. Yes, very good. Very, very beautiful. And now we know why the Native Americans revere the fox so.
Yeah.
Yes. The fox and the coyote are very highly revered by the Native Americans. So, is there anything else? This has all been so wonderful.
Just one comment.
Yes, please, dear.
Going back to our action,
changing the action.
Mm-hmm.
In order to change the action, don't we have to change our thought process first? Change your thought and then get to the action.
Those people who lead at LA Fitness will tell you, no, first change your action and then your mind will change. We're not separate things. It's all one unit. But one can affect the other, no doubt. But, you know, the people at LA Fitness will say, no, just get on the treadmill and after a while you'll understand why. So, yes, yes, Michelle.
I was thinking about what you said about the shootings and everything.
And yes.
Yesterday I saw a clip on YouTube, and it was, I think her name is Yogananda, was asking Maharshi why he was suffering. And Maharshi said that suffering is the way. And I was thinking about my own experience, and like all the suffering I caused, all the suffering that I experienced, but it wasn't until now that I realized that, I mean, I'm kind of like grateful for it, because it brought me to the seat today.
Mm-hmm.
And
precise.
Thinking about, you know, being the actor, like you said, we create this, it's probably, I'm thinking, you know, I mean, that we create this experience, and some of us maybe create it even to that extent of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get to that point that you said, it's enough, and you turn around.
Yes.
I want to go back to the source.
Yes.
So,
well,
the death, you know, and saying that, I said that because, you know, initially when you said, well, some are sheep and some are lions, I was thinking, we're all lions, but they're sheep at that stage because they have not reached that point in their character or their journey.
Right. No, we, each of us sitting here in this room was born into this world as a sheep. Each of us. We wanted to. We knew what was coming. This is what the yogis tell us. We knew what was coming. We came as sheep, even though secretly we know we're lions.
The sheep are cute.
Yes, sheep are cute. Sheep are cute, and you know, but they're not especially intelligent. they're not like the fox.
We made a scapegoat out of a sheep.
So if there's nothing else, is there anything? Okay, we'll close with our regular chant. Again, a beautiful translation by Swami Yogeshananda. I continue to mention his name just so he rises in our minds, just so we can have this beneficent, as Swami Prabhavananda said, every thought is a prayer, and every prayer that we pray for Swami Yogeshananda eases his suffering a little. So this is Swami Yogeshanandaji's translation of an ancient prayer for peace. Let there be peace in outer space.
Let there be peace in outer space.
Let there be peace in the sky, on the earth, and in the waters.
Let there be peace in the sky, on the earth, and in the waters.
Let there be peace in the herbs, the plants, and the trees.
Let there be peace in the herbs, the plants, and the trees.
May the gods be peaceful.
May the gods be peaceful.
May the whole universe be pervaded by peace. Let this infinite universal peace prevail throughout my being. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace be unto us and to all beings everywhere. Amen, amen. Om Tat Sat. So, the ladies who wish to stay behind, the rest of us will go inside. And the gentlemen who wish to stay, they can stay too, Rita said.